Hello and welcome to Multiform. Every week we get together to talk about Xbox news, rumors, and the games we've been playing lately. New episodes post every Monday morning. You can email the show at questions@multiformpodcast.com. This is episode 219, and I'm Tim Shelton, and I'm joined by Gus Harden.
Hello.
Spencer's out this week. Believe it or not, actually, Spencer and I just got back from, we drove separately, but we were on a long road trip to our second funeral in a month because my grandmother passed, and then my mother-in-law, or not my mother-in-law, my wife's grandmother, so my grandmother-in-law also passed, which is Spencer's grandma. So we just came back from her services this weekend, and Spencer got in same time I did, but he has more to do tonight, so he just couldn't fit it into his schedule. Understandable. It's been a crazy weekend. The fact that I'm recording, I got out of my car, Gus, fed our kids dinner, gave them a bath, put them in bed, touched up my show notes, and came right and sat down at my desk to record. So you're getting me straight out of, besides putting my kids to bed and doing all that dad stuff, I'm coming straight into the mic hot. But it is a great week for games, or, well, that's a little overselling it. It's a good week for games, so there's lots to talk about. So
it's
I wanted to
love it or hate it week for games.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about. It's not all good. That's what I'll say. But it's worth talking about. That's what's fun about a podcast is you just get to talk about whatever. There's always rumors, news. There's so much to do. Anyway, let's get right to the games because Gus and I have been playing a lot of new releases and some old stuff. So instead of one of us going and then the other, how about we just kind of ping pong around between some games? And let's first start by talking about what you and I played that wasn't a new release to just get that out of the way. And then we'll go into some new releases. And I'll go first. For me, I played my standard. I've been playing the anniversary of Forza Horizon 5. I really like that. That's a lot of fun. And this week, I did some Cyberpunk 2077, clearing some side jobs and just running around the city. I had just some downtime, and I didn't have a lot of it. And I was like, okay, this is in quick resume, so I can jump in quickly, do some side missions, and it won't like get me invested in something that I can't pause and jump back out. So that was all I played that wasn't a new release this week. And I'm guessing for you, you played Pokemon at work on your Game Boy Color.
I did.
Anything else of note?
Well, I know I talked about it like last week about how the differences between the first generation and second generation games. But man, I was like looking at a guide for Silver. I was like, dude, there is so much to do. Like there is so much to do. It's like ridiculous. Like because it's Not only do you have the Johto region, you also have the Kanto region, which again I talked about. But I just didn't realize how much content there really truly is in the game for you to do. So I have so much because it's not like you just now I have access to Kanto in the free roam, and I can get the Gen 1 Pokemon. Now I can just like walk around and do that. No, you can play against all the gyms, all the gym leaders. Some of them are new, some of them are the old ones. There's like a whole new storyline behind the Kanto region and like some like power plant thief, which is like some lone Team Rocket person. And it's kind of crazy that like it implemented a day and night cycle and just like a day of the week cycle. And so there are certain days of the week that you can go to Kanto from Johto. You can only go there, I think, on Mondays, and you can only come back like on Fridays. Inside the actual game. So it's just a very, very interesting way. Like it is like, and it kind of made me think about how sequels and stuff get treated these days and how, anymore, it seems like sequels are just not very good. Like at Breakpoint. I know Madden doesn't really count cause it's an annual release, but it's like the regression of Madden over the years, the last decade has been astonishing. And then, of course, now it's trying to in that kind of like regrowth stage, or like 2K or like I know those annual releases that I mean, it is what it is for those. But Red Dead Redemption 2 being the only one that's truly been great, in my opinion, that gives you a lot that you would like to do in the sequel. That just all it does is add on. It just builds and it makes the second game better because the first game was so good and they listened to their fans. And I think that is like, obviously this doesn't really count because these games are 20 years old, more than 20 years old. And it was kind of crazy how it's like back then people were just making games to make games for people. And it's like they basically just took everything that people didn't like about the first generation and made it better in the second generation, which I love to see. And I wish more companies and, well, publishers or developers would do that sort of thing without letting all these extra business politics and financial schemes getting in the way. I know that's probably just kind of like a me shouting into the void, but it's something I wish would happen more. But other than that, I did play Smite as well, which not a whole lot to talk about. There's a new champion or a new god out, but I haven't played it, so not really a whole lot going on there. So I guess I'll
yeah, I saw the new
you.
God is Maui. Maui, from, yep. Well, obviously he's a god, but
it's Polynesian.
I know him. Yeah, I know him because my kids watch Moana all the time, which obviously he's adapted.
Plus, I'm
for
fairly
that.
Certain Maui is one of the. It's either a, is it one of the islands of?
Oh, Hawaii.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the main one, isn't it? Is Maui
the
main one?
Well, I don't know. I don't think it's the main one. Yeah, it's
Oahu's
it's not
the main
one.
Maui might be another.
We're embarrassing ourselves. Let's not talk about the names of the islands of Hawaii. Yeah, no, I saw that. I thought that was pretty cool that was a god that they were adding, but mostly because I know it from The Rock's interpretation for Disney, which I'm sure is very far from the I don't know what you call it, mythological version, but yeah. Okay, so let's talk about some new releases. So let's start with, actually, I don't know, do you have a preference? Let's go with the order they kind of happened in, because I think A Plague Tale Requiem came out on Tuesday, and Spencer and I have both started that. Spencer is slightly farther than I am. I think I've only played Chapter 1 and Chapter 2, and I think Spencer is either in Chapter 2 or beat Chapter 2. I don't know what else to say except for it's good so far. It's exactly what I loved about the first game. It's a different setting than you get with a lot of other games. It's like 1400s France, I think. I forget. And but it's old, you know, that time period is not one explored often. And it's obviously alternate reality. It's not like our history. It's slightly different. But yeah, you're back as Amicia and her brother, which you play as briefly. It's definitely a lot more violent. The first game had a much heavier emphasis on stealth. And we saw even from the trailers, this game has a lot more killing. There's a crossbow that you get later in the game and stuff. So far, I like it. Graphics are amazing. Animation looks solid. The story hasn't really taken off yet. It still kind of seems to be picking up on just like getting help for my brother for his macula infection. And that has been subdued partially from the first game. But again, yeah, I'm not far enough to really dig into it. But I love the game. And I love the first one a lot, and so I knew I was going to love this one if they executed at the same level, and so far it seems like they have. So I'm sure I'll talk about it in future weeks as I continue to play the game, but since there's so much new coming out right now, who knows how much of that I'll be playing. We'll see how my mood strikes. So then the second game that came out didn't exactly come out, but it's that Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 2022 edition. Releases next week, but if you pre-ordered, you get access to the campaign a week early, which I believe I think it unlocked on Friday. So Friday, a lot of people got access to the game. Spoilers were already going up online, and Gus, you text me and were like, hey Tim, how much early access can you get if you pre-order it? Because I'm seeing spoilers, and I was like, I think it's already out. I think it's a week. And so I heard that you jumped into it, and so I'm curious, how far are you and what are your impressions so far?
I don't think I'm very far into it. I think I've had 3 setting switches and that's it.
So what do you think? Like 2 hours, 4 hours?
Let's say so it's 8:48 right now.
You started playing it today. Okay.
Yeah. Like within the last few hours, I want to say, I want to say 2 hours. I want to say I probably may have 2 hours at the most. In it.
Okay. Which, you know how Call of Duty campaign is. Yeah, it's usually only 6 to 8 hours.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm into it. I was disappointed by the night vision graphics compared to Modern Warfare 2019. I thought in 2019 it was really, really cool. And I don't know if I've just, if it's like just kind of like lost the gimmick factor of the night vision with like the ultra realistic night vision. But it just doesn't seem, I think it's because it's not grainy. In the last game, it was kind of grainy, which I felt like added like a certain amount of like realism to it. In the new one, it's just very clear and stark. So I was like, darn, it just looks like somebody put a filter over the game is all it is. Which is what it is, but it was fine. Not a whole lot going on.
What do you think of the story so far?
Well, I just got into like some PMC, Private Military Corporation, AC-130, I'm pretty sure. So I'm about to do that when we're done here.
Yes, the typical vehicle mission that every Call of Duty game has.
Yes, as well as I'm sure a stealth mission later on. It's good so far. Hasn't blown me away or anything. I'm sure there's going to be twists and turns. I mean, we'll see just how much they took from the original Modern Warfare 2 campaign game, which a lot of people like to consider is the best one. I do know. I mean, they have like the returning characters. You have Captain Price, you have Gaz, and then you have Ghost, who is like a lieutenant, and he like leads Soap, who is also in the game as well. And then you have General Shepard, but it's not General Shepard from the second game, which I want to say was a famous actor who did the voice. I don't know if he did the mocap or anything else for it, but this time it has Glenn Morshower, who is like a very, prominent like TV and movie actor. I mean, he played a General Morshower himself, I guess, in Transformers, which is where I mostly know him from, the original Transformers. That he's like the U.S. military guy who does that. He's basically just nondescript military man number one.
I know him from the TV show. I believe he was on, am I thinking of 24? Yeah, he was like, I think he was like a Secret Service agent on 24, if I'm remembering.
Yeah,
right.
He was in 24. I just looked as well. Lance Henriksen was.
Yeah, I looked it up too.
Shepard, who was Bishop in Aliens. But yeah, you have Glenn Morshower, which he's General Shepard, which is pretty good. It looks like they have a whole bunch of new characters or new people voicing the characters.
Well, how old is Glenn, what's his face? Because I think part of it is they do now actors.
I think he's 63. He's born in 1959, so it's 2020.
Yeah, I was going to say Lance Henriksen is 82, so he's probably pretty old to do mocap for sure.
I mean, plus that game is over 10 years old now. So, I mean, he was in his 70s when he did that.
Yeah. And now games are different. Like a lot of times the actors and the voices are done with mocap at the same time. Whereas back in the day, it was just voiceover over a hand animated or separate mocap.
He's been in a lot of stuff, so which is fine with me. And I like that. But yeah, lots of good acting so far. I like the gun physics that are very good. I like those a lot. The suppressed weapons are very, very satisfying to use as they should be.
I'm looking forward to jumping into that one as well, but I'm going to wait for release day. I'm not going to pre-order.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to jump into multiplayer too. Hopefully, I don't get absolutely dominated by MLG pro players when I get home from work, which is what I think I joked about that last week about how like people like me or even other people like don't even really like playing multiplayer anymore because you go online and you have people who don't have jobs or like they're like college kids or some people who have all this time to play or been playing all the time. And they just smoke you. And it's like, why am I even like here wanting to play this? Because I just got home from work and I just wanted to play a game for an hour or two.
Well, some games have skill-based matchmaking so that you don't get paired with people that'll absolutely smoke you. But other games don't. I don't know if called that.
I mean, I don't think I'm like awful at first-person shooters. I like to think that I'm bad at them. So that way,
I'm straight middle of the road.
It's a pleasant surprise. So, yeah, I mean, without getting too far into the story and doing any spoilers or anything, I am in Mexico right now, so.
So the only other new release this week, well, I'm sure there might have been others that I'm not aware of or that are smaller, but the other big one was Gotham Knights, which I've talked about a lot in previous weeks. And if you're listening to this and you haven't seen it's getting kind of savaged in the reviews. Like, it's not uncommon for big sites and, you know, major players, GameSpot, IGN, a lot of others, Game Informer. Actually, Game Informer's was okay, but it's getting fours and fives from major news sites. Game Informer, I think, gave it like a 7.5 or something. So in general, it's got a not great Metacritic. I think it's like low 70s. I started it. It came out Friday, and I left on my trip on Friday, but I played it at midnight Thursday night. So I played it about an hour before I went to bed. Although I didn't get very far in an hour, because there's a lengthy intro cutscene or cinematic, whichever it is. I'm not actually sure if it's pre-recorded or pre-rendered, or if it's rendered live in engine, but you basically see the setup for the game, like what happens to Bruce Wayne / Batman, and why he isn't present in the game. And it leaves no question as to it. There's no mystery. So the game isn't set up at the beginning where you're doing a like murder mystery to figure out who killed Bruce Wayne. You know who killed him, you know where they are, you know what happened to them, you knew what happened to Bruce. There's no like mystery from that. Now, I don't know if that's going to unravel and later in the game find out that it was a lie or whatever. I don't think that's going to happen, but it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. It doesn't seem like from their words, but that's like the setup. And that thing was long. I want to say that was like 10 or 15 minutes. And then I started playing, and so you go through some of the tutorial stuff. You get a pick at one early point. You get to pick which character you want to play as. I know you can change easily and jump around and stuff, but I chose Batgirl initially. I know she has more of a tech focused skill abilities, but I've always liked Barbara Gordon, so I'm playing as her. And I got, you know, I played a little bit. One of the things that I don't like so far is that you're, unlike Batman, where you have like X, Y, and B, so you had like light attack, heavy attack, and like dodge. In this game, you have X as your light and your heavy. So you hold for heavy and you tap for light, which might be okay. We'll see. But it takes a little bit of the nuance out. And then the dodging seems slightly more complex than Arkham Knight. Like it's almost like there's a timing level to it that is telegraphed slightly more than Arkham was.
Yeah, I don't remember there being heavy attacks in Arkham Knight.
Well, then what was Y?
Why was
I don't remember.
Why was the counter button?
So is it just X and counter?
It's literally just X and counter, and then you have the gadgets, and you have like LT and stuff to like throw batarangs and whatnot.
Yeah, which you're going to have that. I haven't unlocked it yet because I was still...
No, there was not heavy attacks.
Wow, then I'm mixing up games then.
Yeah, X.
Oh, you know what I'm
X
thinking of?
Regular. What's up?
Thinking of Avengers.
Yeah.
X is light and Y is heavy.
Yeah, because it's coming back to me now. It's X is light. X is your attack. Y is your counter button. B is the cape flourish, which would like stun people. And then you have A was just like, I think was like the dodge jump button.
So I don't know yet if there is... I'm sure there is, but I don't know if there is the same counter button, because in the tutorial, what it taught me to do was to dodge when I get the like they're about to hit you icon telegraph thing. So I was using X and B, and I forget what Y uses. I played this 3 days ago. Like I said, I just got back in from my road trip. So, yeah, I don't know. It's too early for me to give any kind of impression. I think I'm going to like some of it and not like some of it from what I've seen on the internet about reviews. Like, I like DC Comics, so I think I'm gonna like the universe and the world building and the story. Some of the gameplay stuff seems a little grindy, which I was always afraid of. The co-op stuff doesn't yet seem to be intrusive, which was one of my fears when they announced the game, so that doesn't seem to be a concern. So I'm eager to play more of it. In fact, when we get off here, I'm probably gonna play that after I watch the finale for House of the Dragon.
That's tonight.
Yeah.
And since I'm working late tomorrow, I can stay up and watch it tonight.
Yeah, it's a great day. We got that. And then, well, anyway.
Yeah, this week's episode is about to be crazy. I already know.
The finale of any big budget HBO show is always awesome.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, last week was, like, so, like, anticlimactic for me. So this week, it's like, you already know, because, I mean, Rhaenyra.
Hey, we're getting off track. This is an Xbox podcast.
I know,
podcast.
But it's going to be crazy. Well, no, this is an everything podcast, Tim.
Okay.
We like to pretend like it's an Xbox-only podcast.
Multiform and everything podcast.
Yes, multiform, a multifaceted podcast.
Ooh, that has a nice ring to it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a bit wordy, I'm sure.
I'm sure that doesn't work for Google search traffic. But
just how many people are looking up the word multifaceted when they're
searching
something.
Fun
anyway,
fact,
continue.
The word multiform actually... Gus, have you ever heard why Spencer and I named it multiform or where that came from?
I did once, but it's been so long that the nuance.
I don't think we've ever said it on the show either, and I wish Spencer was here to like talk through it.
Might as well say it.
I believe my memory serves that we were trying to come up with a word that was something that encapsulated basically diversity of in gaming, because like I play PC, Spencer plays PC, I play Xbox and PlayStation, Spencer plays Xbox. You play PC and Xbox. So, like, none of us are, like, console... Well, I mean, we're more loyal to Xbox, certainly. But we're not truly, like, exclusively locked in one console ecosystem. So, it was, like, supposed to say, like, we can talk about gaming in general and just be a generalized gaming podcast.
You muted yourself, Tim.
Hilarious. So apparently there's a keyboard shortcut to mute, and I don't know what I did, but I must have tripped it.
I was like listening, and I was like, all of a sudden you're gone.
So, I mean, I'll keep this in because it's funny, okay. But like, what did I, what was the last thing you heard?
I don't know. Something really loud flew over my apartment, which is why I like was like listening.
Okay. Well, long story short, multiform was supposed to be, I think it's a synonym for, like, diverse or what's the word I'm looking for? There was a word that was actually a synonym of that fit what we were trying to convey, as far as we were mostly focusing on Xbox, but we had other differences of opinion and different things that we wanted to work into it. And that kind of still exists. Like we call ourselves an Xbox podcast.
I have it Googled right now. Assorted. Just go through the list.
Oh, well, that's going to take forever.
Heterogeneous.
No.
Multitudinous.
We are an Xbox podcast, but we always go off on tangents, like House of the Dragon and The Witcher TV show and the Cars universe and whether 9/11, whether the terrorists were the planes or the people in the planes.
Oh yeah, well, not only that, but it was also like the Turning Red movie or whatever.
Yeah, hang on, wait. Side tangent. This one has to happen because of our Cars thing a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
I was watching the new, so there's this new genre of cartoons that are basically taking stuff like DC Comics and Marvel Comics and making them simple enough and kid friendly enough for toddlers. So my kids like Spidey and His Amazing Friends on Disney Plus. That's
this
like
the one where they have like big heads and like
yes, and like
bodies. Yeah.
They're trying to like solve things like recycling and cats in a tree. And like Green Goblin is like a frenemy, not an enemy. He's like their friend. Like he's like challenging them, but not in an like totally adversarial way. And when they beat him, it's like, oh shucks. Well, anyway, so I was watching the new one, which is the DC one, which is called Batwheels, and it's on HBO. And the first episode, Batman, Robin, and Batgirl are driving in their Bat Bike, Batmobile, and Robin drives a race car, like Fast and the Furious, like 2 style. Like a heavily modified vehicle that has
like
a very loud
Asian
noise to it.
Yeah, like no, they're like Asian, like Toyotas, Nissans, like people.
Yeah,
call
it was commonly
racers.
The Asian tuner scene in America. Asian meaning Asian cars, not Asian.
So does this mean like Green
Asian
Goblin,
people?
Like they're trying to solve his like glider fumes?
Sometimes, no, like that was an example. Like I know. Recycling was like one episode. There's other episodes like where like green
energy. Glider.
Dr. Octopus is like trying to steal something from somebody and they have to stop it with the power of friendship and like just stuff like that. Anyway, you're missing the point of the story though. Batwheels, they all of them have like something they drive. So Robin drives his like modified, like heavily modified car. Batman has the Batmobile. Batgirl has the Batcycle. Well, they all at the end of their mission for some reason decide to go home in Bruce Wayne's like limousine. And because they're in the limousine, they don't have any of their Bat tech. So when there's somebody breaks into the Bat Cave, the robots and the AI of the Batcave don't know how to protect themselves. So their solution is to take an AI chip and shove it into the Batmobile, and it becomes sentient. Its eyes pop into its windshield, and its smile appears in its grill. Cars. And it turns into the movie Cars set in the DC universe. And that's going, I know because of the trailer that that's going to happen to all the other vehicles in the Bat family as well.
That's interesting that they can even get away with that because Disney owns Pixar. And obviously Cars is a Pixar movie and Marvel is a direct competitor to DC. So I'm surprised the mouse hasn't brought the hammer down with a cease and desist order.
I don't think that's trademarkable because there's another show. My kids, when we were out of town, were watching Disney Junior. And a show came on called Fire Buds, and there's sentient like fire trucks and other cars that coexist with humans. So the world of this show is even more confusing because the cars and the people exist in the same world, and the cars are all sentient. So when you drive a car or ride a car, you are taking over the power of the sentient being and driving it, and then you get out and it talks to you. It's all messed up. It's all just weird. If you think too hard about any kid's show, it just will mess up your worldview. So moving on. I played one other game this week, but I'm actually not going to talk about it because it segues it perfect to talk about in one of the news items later. So let's toss aside all the cars and DC Batwheels talk and jump right into the news. You ready? Also hilarious that I accidentally muted myself earlier. I need to remember to remove at least the dead air so people aren't sitting waiting for me to come back for like 5 minutes. But this will be funny later. Anyway, okay, in the news, number one, the Elite Series 2 Design Lab launched. And this kind of came out of nowhere. Like, there was no, like, pre-announcement. Like, hey, it'll be live next week. Or, hey, look forward to this on November 16th. It just went live. And there was a blog up and a bunch of social posts, and it was live. So what made me pleasantly surprised, Gus, is that remember when they teased this in their E3 timeframe stuff, they teased with a video, basically. It was just a video. And in the video, they only showed the shell of the controller being a different color. And the grips, the buttons, the D-pad, the joysticks, all of that was still the standard color. And I was like, oh, okay, well, it's the Elite, so they're limiting your customization options. No. That's not the case. This thing launched and you can customize everything. The only thing you can't customize is the actual grips on the sides. The rubberized part of it is black on all controllers, same as it is on the white core controller that was just announced. But everything else can be customized. And I mean everything, more than the regular controller. You can customize all the pads on the back. You can customize the joysticks, the D-pad, the circle D-pad, the ring around the joysticks. Can get its own color separate from the under joysticks, separate from the joystick caps. The case for the Elite Series 2 can be customized. I'll talk about pricing in a minute. Gus, it looks like you have something to say.
I mean, I love it's like a not so subtle nod to the trans community with this picture. Cause that is like their flag colors, which is fine. I'm just saying I know that they've been like very, Microsoft and Xbox itself have been very big on inclusivity, but it's like,
well, click on the link though. Click on, under it, I have two links. Click on the mm-hmm. first link because that's actually an animated GIF that is just froze on that color.
Yeah.
So if you go to the blog announcement, one of the colors in there, like GIF showing a bunch of different options.
Oh yeah.
So the one it froze on is orange, teal, pink, purple. It does look kind of like the trans flag colors.
I mean,
but,
it does, but I mean,
or I'm sorry, it's not trans flag. It's the LGBTQ.
That is more specifically like the non-binary flag.
Hang on, I'm Googling it. Non-binary
flag.
Because
it should be like pink, blue, and black, I think, with like orange or something in it. Like
I guess it's kind of close to, I don't know which flag this is. I'm looking at all the different LGBT flags.
Not that it matters what it's a nod to. To me, it's like it shows off the range of accessories and colors that you can choose from to make your own personalized Elite controller. I mean, what it looks like is kind of irrelevant. It was just the first thing that I noticed. But again, that's neither here nor there. I just thought it was cool that they kind of put that in there to show just how like what a wide range they have for you to choose from. And this almost make me want to get a new one because I mean my old one doesn't. I mean the grips have fallen off, and I've Googled it. Then there's quite simply no way for them to go back on because the heat from your hands expands the rubber to the point where they just come off.
Oh, yeah, because you have the Elite Series 1, don't you?
I do, and I can't use it anymore. I could. It works, but why would I even bother? Because the rubber lips aren't there. It would just be uncomfortable.
Okay, so let's talk pricing. Well, first of all, by the way, I'm really surprised that they let you that you customize the shell of the case, like the zipper case that you put the controller in. That's taking it a step above what expectations were.
It's just like a little extra thing that's out there. It's like, why not? I mean, it can't be that hard for them to do it. But I'm more surprised by the ring around the analog sticks. That's crazy. Like that level of detail.
Yeah. Okay. So it's $150 for just the controller. Now that is effectively the same as the Xbox Elite Series 2 core controller. So it doesn't come with any of the back paddles, any of the extra the D-pad, the extra thumbsticks, the case, or the charger. So you get just the controller, which if all you want to be able to do is like change your profiles, have the hair trigger locks, and a couple of the other Elite features, that gets you what you need for $150. Which, by the way, PlayStation just announced the pricing on their Edge controller, which is their Pro controller. It's $200. For $200, you can get... The next line on my announcement here is to get everything custom, so the Elite Series 2 controller, the alternate D-pad, the alternate sticks, the back buttons, the case, the charger. So everything you can get for the Elite Series 2 customized to all your colors customized is $210. So for $10 more than the PlayStation base Edge controller, you could get a totally custom Xbox controller. Or if you don't need all the extra stuff, you could get an Elite Series 2 for like, what is the price? $180, or an Elite Series 2 core for like I forget what the price on it was when we announced it, talked about it a few weeks ago. Anyway, so $150 for just the controller, $210 for everything. But you can pick and choose what you want. So they have four different accessory packs depending on what you want. So the everything pack is if you want to customize the joysticks, the back paddles, the case, and then you also get the D-pad and the charger, that's $70. So if you already own the core or you own an Elite Series 2 and you just want to customize your case and your back paddles and a couple other things like your joysticks, you can order that. Then if you only want to customize your case and your charging pad, so let's say you just want an extra case or an extra charging pad, that's $40. If you just want to replace your back paddles, so like yours, you lost some of them because they fall off kind of easy if you in transit or if you didn't store them correctly, that's $27 or $26.99 US. And if you just want to replace your thumbsticks and your D-pad, that's $29.99. So you can mix and match whatever you want.
Just how much do you use the back paddles? Just to kind of like get into like the nuances of using the Elite controller. Because I there are a lot of cool options. I took my paddles off because they annoyed me.
So when I first got it, I wasn't used to it yet. And I took mine off with the Elite Series 1. With the Elite Series 2, I will say, Gus, you should hold one in your hands because they moved the placement, and I find the placement on the Elite Series 2 5,000 times
natural.
Better.
Okay.
Yeah, they're smaller, and they're more out of the way to where you don't hit them by mistake, and they're less, I don't know, it just feels better to me.
Yeah,
like, I've held them both side by side, and I'm like, okay, it feels weird to go back to the Elite Series 1 now.
Yeah, because I found uses for them. I cannot for the life of me remember what it is that I actually ended up mapping them to. But I did use them.
Like, I had profiles, I had one that was just for Warzone, Call of Duty Warzone, and I mapped the ping, like being able to tag things for my team members, teammates, to one of the paddles so that I didn't have to take my fingers off anywhere else to ping stuff. So I didn't want to have to hit a bumper or a D-pad. I just wanted to be able to go boom, boom, boom. I forget what other stuff. I also mapped it to something different in Apex. And then a lot of people like to map jump to it so that you can jump and aim at the same time, because that way you can have both your thumbs on the joystick. And a lot of people, the old way to do it was bumper jumper, right? Games let you...
I was a bumper jumper. Halo.
So it's a way to do bumper jumper without having to reconfigure the whole controller, because you can just add jump to the back and then you don't have to take away your grenade and your equipment
but then it's
from being
like,
L1 and R1.
But then it's like you have to get used to a whole new scheme.
Which doesn't take as long as you would think. The downside is if you're ever away from your elite, it's like, oh no.
Oh yeah.
My brain has broken.
Yeah, you have to go all the way back. I didn't even think about the whole like the retrospective of it, that it's like if it breaks and you have to go back to your regular one. Imagine like being like a competitive player and having all these extra options, yeah. And now all of a sudden, nothing.
So
it would make more sense in Smite to me. Like Smite's like one of those games that I could see that being a thing, because it's like they have like an in-game chat system, because there's no voice chat, which kind of sucks. But there's no voice chat, and apparently you can like you can text in there, and it's like people will be typing and texting like during the game, and I was like, I don't even know how to do that. I've been too lazy to check it out, but that could be a way for you to use their in-game system. It's like it'll be like enemy missing in the middle lane, or like I'm on my way, be right back, going for this jungle buff.
Yeah,
and there's all these different commands you can use, and I feel like you having that on the back instead of on your D-pad would be kind of nice, but that's just me.
I will say all the times that I've used the back buttons were multiplayer games. I've never used them in a single player game.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of any.
Yeah, there is no reason, because it's like, unless it's like a PC game where you have like map functions, it might be useful in stuff like Stellaris Xbox, or
that's true. Crusader, but you can also map. You can map other stuff to it, like take a screenshot or things.
Oh
for
man,
the
that would
Xbox
be nice,
because
I always accidentally hit that button on my regular controller. I don't know how you guys don't have that problem.
Well, you know, you can go and disable that. The button's customizable now.
Yeah, I know. I'm just too lazy to do that.
Yeah, exactly. So I understand the use case for the core controller, or buying a custom controller without the back pads, because you gain a lot. You gain the hair trigger locks, the custom profiles, and the ability to do a lot more customization to your button mapping than the base controller. Like, for example, you can turn down the brightness on your Xbox Jewel logo, which I do because when you're in the dark, that thing kind of like blinds you when it's white. But also, if you buy the core controller or just the base custom controller, you probably could pick up used like back paddles off eBay, because the thing is, you never use everything it comes with, right? There's the Elite Series 2 comes with 6 different joysticks, and you can only use 2 at a time. So you're always not using 4. So you could probably find somebody on the internet that isn't using the ones that you're using and just like buy them for like $10 or whatever. But I do, the thing I really like about this is options, right? Let me customize exactly what I want to customize. Don't limit me, and let me buy exactly what I want to buy. Now, it is a pricey accessory. When you take, for example, that you can buy, okay, so this console, this controller, if you buy everything custom, is $210. I saw that, I think it's mid-November, Costco is going to be selling the Xbox Series S console for $240. So for $30 more than this controller, you could go buy an Xbox Series S at Costco in November. That to me is insane. But it is a premium accessory. And it just feels so much sturdier, and I don't know. I love that controller. Although I am almost afraid to use it now after my first one broke. It kind of has like a Fabergé egg feel to me. Like, I'm afraid that the more I use it, the more it's just going to break, and I don't want to have to replace it again. But I also had like the first generation, because I pre-ordered it at the E3 announcement when they announced the Elite Series 2. So it was like the first off the line controller. So if you get one, Gus, you should get a custom one. I played around with the builder online,
yeah,
and I,
like, I might
cool
as well
stuff.
If I'm going to, hopefully it lasts me longer than my other one did. My other one, I don't think it lasted me a year. I was like 9 months.
Yeah, and if you think about it, like the Xbox One controllers that had the kind of like, I don't know what you call it, the shiny plastic on the top, and then there's the newer Xbox One controllers that have just, it's all part of the same face. And then they use that one when they came forward to the Series X, except for adding the share button. The difference between the original launch Xbox One controller and the Xbox One S and X controller is night and day. Like, especially the L1 and R1 bumpers. The bumpers, they're R1 and L1 on PlayStation, LB and RB on Xbox. They feel so much better on the newer generations of controllers. It's so hard for me to play with an Xbox One era, like launch a 2013 controller now, just because the bumpers feel so spongy. And those are the Elite Series 1 controller has those spongy bumpers that I don't like. They're not super spongy, but they feel weird. They're not as clicky as the Series 2 controller. But that's way down in the weeds. So let's move on. Number two. Bungie, developer of Destiny and Destiny 2, and previously Halo up through Halo Reach, is rumored to be bringing back their series that was prior to Halo called Marathon, which, if you don't know, Marathon released in 1994, and it had two sequels that came out in 95 and 96. So they one game a year for 3 years. Now, I don't think those games sold like a lot. Now, back in the day, games didn't have to sell as much as they did now because budgets were lower and stuff. But I think it was like a sub-million seller. But this rumor is coming from Insider Gaming, which is Tom Henderson's new website. He's previously leaked a bunch of stuff, which is we've referenced on the show. And he is taking his connections and leaks to make his own website, which I think we've referenced on the show before. But according to his sources, the game's in pre-alpha state, and it's going to be a three-man
pre-alpha. Jeez, so why are we even talking about this?
Well, it's a leak; it's not an announcement, so it's probably 5 years away. But
yeah,
it's
exactly.
Here's the kicker, though. So Bungie knows how to do live service games. Obviously, Destiny, one of the most successful live service games of the modern era. But it supposedly this is a three-man squad-based extraction-based shooter, which is games like, Escape from Tarkov is an extraction-based shooter. It's a pretty crude one. But one, I wonder if this genre is one that really has the legs to be as huge as Destiny or Halo. But then I'm like, well, maybe if it was done by Bungie and they did it the way they do things, it would be more successful. Like, Escape from Tarkov is successful, but it has a... as I said when I played it with Brett, it has a huge learning curve, and it's been in I don't know what they call it, early access for years, and it's still not in final release. And it's not like you can just, it doesn't have like onboarding. It doesn't tell you anything. You need to learn the game the hard way. Whereas a Bungie game at least does a slightly better job of onboarding you and being accessible while still having depth and, you know, great shooting mechanics and stuff. So I wonder what a game from Bungie in this genre could look like. It's actually kind of an enticing thought. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't be that interested. The only weird thing about it is I don't know that I care about Marathon. I never played it, so I don't have any affinity for it. And it's weird, I guess, to go back to a game that hasn't been used since 1996 and probably doesn't have that many huge fans to turn it into something new. But then again, they own the IP, so they can do what they want. So, Gus, does this do anything for you? And if you don't know, an extraction-based shooter, it's a multiplayer game or multiplayer slash co-op game where you go in with like gear and loot, and you're supposed to like, you know, loot and kill and stuff, and then you extract. But if you die during the mission, you lose all your loot. So it's a risk like reward system.
It's kind of like the Black Ops Cold War Zombies. That was like an option that you could do was extracting.
But did you lose your gear if you died? Like everything, like your vest, your guns, like you couldn't use them again because you had to reacquire them.
Oh, like as in like you'd have to like buy them outside or something like that, or
no, like kind of imagine an RPG mixed with a shooter. So like you go in and you loot you find gear, kind of like PUBG.
No, it wasn't like
and
that.
Then you extract and like you get to keep that loot. But then the next time, if you go in and use that loot, if you die, you lose it forever until you find it again.
No, nothing like that then. It was a more like light version of that.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting... I'm going to be interested in anything Bungie tackles. I'm certainly glad that they are going for this and not like the co-op... I don't know if you call it arcade shooters, extraction shooters that are not the same, but it's a different genre. The stuff like Rainbow Six Extraction and what was the one that the other one that came out recently? Was it an alien game? It was Alien something.
Didn't recall.
Alien. What was the name of that game? It's on Game Pass.
No, Alien Isolation was like that one. Like, but that's like a horror game. It's not like an extraction game.
No,
really.
Alien. I'm going to Google it. Aliens Extraction. Oh, there it was. Aliens Fireteam Elite. Aliens Fireteam Elite. Okay. That was the game I'm talking about. all these games where you go in, you kill some aliens, and then you extract to end the mission, and you have to like survive a certain long. These weird co-op games that kind of just like, there were three of them in the last year, and they all kind of just fizzled and never took off. But again, if Bungie tackled that, they probably could maybe have more success because they've been more innovative over their history. But it also seems like that already kind of exists in Destiny. There's already like strikes and raids and other types of content that are 3 and 6 man teams where you go in, do something and get out of the end after solving some puzzles, killing some enemies. So like, I don't feel like that would be different enough. When I first saw this, I thought that that's the type of game that they meant by extraction, because I was thinking Rainbow Six Extraction. But in the terms of a more multiplayer focused game, more like Escape from Tarkov, but with a Bungie twist, that I could get behind, especially if, you know, it's good like most Bungie games have been. So
we'll see. I guess it's on my radar, but I mean, I don't really play. That would require that I have 3 other friends, Tim, because you know how anti like find new. I guess I'm not really anti like find people in a game and then like have to communicate with them. But I don't like I'm like, it's probably bad of me for some of this, but I like don't relish the idea of meeting people online and playing games with them.
Yeah, well, I guess I haven't done it since Destiny 1 when I had to find fire teams for stuff.
Hey, I'm like, not going to say that like I wouldn't do it, but I mean, like if I wanted to get into Tarkov, one of my very good friends plays it, and so I could just ask him, and I'm sure he would be willing to like help me. I mean, maybe not right now because he just got deployed to Egypt, but perhaps whenever he's back. But yeah, I don't know. It's one of those. I mean, it's in pre-alpha. I'm sure it would look good. Who knows? Maybe they'll even decide to kind of set it in the Destiny universe. I don't know. I don't know why they would want to do that since they already have Destiny. But like,
well, it
why
says
even...
they're set. It's supposed to be set in the Marathon universe. But
yeah,
I
but
guess
like,
they
but
could
like, why?
Find a
way to bridge
why not
just make Destiny
two, but...
3?
Well, they've said they're not going to because they're just going to keep doing the. They said they wish they never made Destiny 2 and they just kept adding on to Destiny 1. So that's what they're now doing with Destiny 2. But
I don't know. Anyway, it'll be fine, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll hear more about it over
the
years.
We'll see in 5 years, like you said.
Well, and they said in their like earnings call that they wanted to be multi-game, like have multiple live service games by like 2025, yeah. I think. So
they're in the PlayStation umbrella now, aren't they?
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that. But they're separate. They're not exclusive. Their
right,
other games are going to be multi.
I mean, they're in the PlayStation umbrella, which could always, the way PlayStation acts, could lead to them making an exclusive, if I could speak. Holy crap.
Oh, yeah. That's hilarious. We're going to talk about that in a minute, the duplicitous nature of PlayStation currently and
Sony.
What's going on with the
not even just
Activision deal.
Sony themselves.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, people are up in arms because the Sony Twitter account, not PlayStation, Sony, tweeted an image and was like, "We bet you can't guess this cover art." And people immediately were like, "What are you talking about? That's Bloodborne." And then everyone got all fired up that they were finally going to port Bloodborne either to PC or to modern consoles with like 60 FPS and better graphics, whatever. And then they deleted the tweet. And so I think my guess is that some social media manager was just trying to have fun and do a guessing game on social media. And instead it blew up to them like doing a stealth announcement. But why would they do that on the Sony account? Like somebody stepped over their line. I bet maybe it's a Bloodborne TV or movie adaptation.
The wrong person got a hold of the Sony account.
And social media managers sometimes have ideas that are not totally tied into the vision of like their sister companies, or like they don't understand what the implication could be to the audience. Like, the audience jumped to conclusions, and the conclusion they wanted them to jump to a conclusion, but that being like, oh, we're doing a movie adaptation. That's why it's going through the Sony account, or like we're making a TV show, but nobody cares about that. They want Bloodborne on PC or Bloodborne with a modern console, because Bloodborne is locked on, what is it locked on? PS4? So you can play it on PS5. There's some problem with it on PS5. I can't remember. Maybe it's the frame rate isn't as high as people hoped. I don't know. I haven't played Bloodborne, so I'm really talking out of one side of my mouth right now. Let's move on. Number 3, the Xbox Store on mobile. So this one is part of that Activision deal we were just talking about. So the UK regulatory agency that is reviewing the Activision deal has asked for more information. I think they're actually doing a survey of the public, and they're getting information from affected parties. And so Microsoft got to make some statements and responses to things. And this one quote has been pulled out, or well, I guess it's two quotes from the media. And here's what it is. Here's the quote. Quote, building on Activision's existing community of gamers, Xbox will seek to scale the Xbox store for mobile, attracting gamers to a new Xbox mobile platform. End quote there. Second quote is, quote, shifting consumers away from the Google Play Store and App Store on mobile devices will, however, require a major shift in consumer behavior. Microsoft hopes that by offering well-known and popular content, gamers will be more inclined to try something new, end quote. So this is weird because there's already been some attempts at this, because Amazon has their App Store for Android, and on PC, Epic Game Store obviously has been trying to pull people away from Steam, initially unsuccessfully. You can make a case that still people are pretty reluctant to go to Xbox or Epic Game Store as their primary like PC launcher. It would be really tough to compete as a holistic app store with Google and Apple, because they're intrinsic to their platforms, right? Android and iOS are the only two mobile platforms for phones that of any consequence, especially here in the West, in the USA and other North American countries. So I don't know what to think of this. Now, what it does say is that if they get what they want and they start building an Xbox app store, we could see them pull all the mobile apps from Apple and Android and make them exclusive to their app store on Android. So like, they have a lot of mobile games, and I didn't know this, but apparently half of Activision's revenue comes from like three mobile games. Diablo Immortal, Candy Crush, and
one? Candy Crush, the big one right there.
And Call of Duty Mobile is the other one. And a lot of that revenue is from Eastern countries and Middle Eastern countries, not Western countries, because mobile gaming is way more common in the Eastern Hemisphere than it is in the Western Hemisphere.
Yes.
And so I don't think this applies as much to us, because it's more common to console and PC game in the US. But it is interesting that a lot of companies are chasing the mobile money right now. Like, Sony just acquired a mobile studio and is looking at adapting some of their franchises to mobile. Xbox trying to acquire Blizzard in part to bolster their mobile presence, because they really, I mean, Xbox doesn't have any mobile games for the most part. They have Xbox Game Pass, which is playable on mobile through the cloud, but Blizzard actually has mobile games. So does King. So that acquisition in some regard would help make them competitive in mobile. I don't know, Gus, what do you think about this app store to compete with Google and Apple? That, I mean, they do call it a what do they say? It would take a major shift in consumer behavior, but it almost seems insurmountable.
I am 100% on board, especially because I'm anti-Google, and also if I didn't like the iPhone user interface so much, I would also be anti-Apple. My dad is my anti-Apple. Competition, all it does is drive business. It makes people better. It makes companies have to be better to be the ones who are going to be on top. So, I mean, you learn this in business class. Anybody who takes a business class knows competition drives innovation. So hopefully we just get better things out of Microsoft. We get better things out of Apple. We get better things out of Google. Because I feel like Apple, I mean, they've been on top so long. I mean, you see their new phones every year. It's hardly an innovation. Pixel, I don't know. You own a Pixel. You'd have to speak more about how much it's changed since the first iteration. But I mean, I'm on board with it. I mean, I do agree. Yeah, it's going to be, I wouldn't call it insurmountable, but I mean, there definitely is that added factor. I mean, that's anybody who gets into somebody with an established base already. I mean, you take that risk and you get in there. Luckily, Microsoft is already in and of itself a multi-billion-dollar company, so it's not like they're starting from scratch and they're just going to get bought out by Apple or bought out by Google because they don't want to deal with the competition anymore. That simply won't happen, because obviously Microsoft and how they've acted in the last couple of years, especially with Xbox, has been like moving on up. That has been like their mantra, moving on up, to me, at least, like from the outside looking in. It is a very, very much a moving on up onto the next thing, making other people better, making other some people worse, as we can see with Sony and how, and like we see how they act right now, has really brought out their kind of dark side to me. Again, as somebody out on the outside looking in, and I'm not trying to trash like Sony overall, but I'm saying like you've kind of seen how they're trying to run their business right now because of the way Microsoft's innovating and trying to move to the next level and bringing in more people into their umbrella, and hoping to make them better. Cause obviously they're trying to make Activision better. I mean, they had the whole scandal. But I mean, again, to just bring it back down full circle, I mean, competition drives innovation. So hopefully we'll see and get something better out of the Apple Store, out of the Google Store, out of Apple and Google in and of themselves. But so yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. I think it'll be great. I mean, like you said, they do have a lot of their own first party stuff now that they can really bring to the table. And who knows, they might even have stuff cooking up in the works right now that we don't even know anything about. Like you, I mean, you almost have to think if they're going to launch their own store, they definitely got stuff under wraps right now that is going to be ready and willing to launch day one if they decide to continue this path.
I do think this is more of a play, though, for markets that are more mobile friendly and more mobile first and less of a play in the United States. And
see if Microsoft
Western
brings the
markets,
Microsoft phone back.
I mean, the Windows phone was very popular with a segment of the audience. But I mean, they made some mistakes with Nokia and some other stuff that they bought. But I think they did. Wait, no, that was Google that bought Nokia. I don't know. This doesn't matter. It's not related to Xbox. So, okay, let's move on. Number four, Game Pass games for the rest of the month. It seems like there's a heavy presence here for spooky games for the Halloween season.
Spooky season.
So, games announced for the rest of the month for Xbox Game Pass. So, October 20th, which is come and gone, they added Amnesia Collection and Amnesia Rebirth. Amnesia. Why can't I say that word? Phantom Abyss.
Amnesia.
And Soma. So those are four spooky games, or at least three of those are. October 21st, they added Persona 5 Royale. October 27th, they will be adding Gunfire Reborn and Signalis. Now, leaving on October 31st, at the end of the month, Alan Wake, American Nightmare, Backbone, Bassmaster Fishing 2022, Nonguns, Doppelganger
Edition.
No, not
Bassmaster. I haven't finished it yet.
I didn't even know that was on Game Pass. I'm going to
No, remember I played it. The group chat for the longest time was my fisherman.
Also leaving Project Wingman, Second Extinction, Sniper Elite 4, and The Forgotten City. So the big ones leaving, I would say, are Alan Wake, American Nightmare, Sniper Elite 4, and The Forgotten City.
Yeah, Alan Wake is definitely like a spooky season game. So
it's a good game too.
At least it's
that's
on
the spinoff
31st,
though.
So it'll be
that's
gone.
The arcade game's sequel. Like it's like a smaller
still,
game.
It's Alan Wake though.
Yeah, it's true. Forgotten City, we talked about that a lot in the podcast recently. And Sniper Elite 4 is leaving, but Sniper Elite 5 is still on the service, I believe. So wait, Gus, look that up. Is Sniper Elite 5 actually on the service? I can't remember
yes,
now.
Yes, because it was still installed on my Xbox.
Okay, you played it on Game Pass. I couldn't remember because I own it, so I didn't know if it was on Game Pass or not.
I never finished it. I never got around to finishing it. I just have had so much other stuff going on, but it is.
Yeah, that was one of the few AA or AAA games that came out this year that didn't underwhelm. So Sniper Elite 5 is worth a play. So the thing I wanted to highlight here, and this is what I teased way at the beginning of the episode, is Persona 5 Royale came on October 21st. Now, Persona has been a huge PlayStation franchise, rarely appearing anywhere else. Okay, I think it's obviously, I think maybe appeared on PlayStation or PC or Nintendo, but I don't really follow Persona, so I don't know for sure. So I'm in the car on our trip and I'm like, what could I play on LTE/5G mobile connection on Game Pass Cloud that if I lost connection for a few seconds, it wouldn't get me killed? And I saw that Persona 5 Royale had just been added. And I'm like, okay, I'll try this. And it had a custom touch control. So I didn't need to get my controller I had it in a bag in the trunk. So I played probably only 30 minutes of Persona 5 Royale. Remember, this game has gotten like 9 and 10 out of 10s from many outlets. I just don't think it's a heavily Japanese game, and I just don't think it's for me. But I did play it for like 30 minutes. I did like that it's turn-based, so you can, when you get into combat, it's turn-based, but it's not. It's much like Yakuza Like a Dragon, how it's turn-based when you're in combat. So it's easy to play on mobile. And I was kind of looking for turn-based games like that where, you know, you run around and then when you get into combat, you actually select just your attack. And so I guess I'm fessing up that I tried Persona 5 Royale. Spencer made fun of me because he's like, I've never in my life thought of a game that could be less of a Tim game. Which is weird, though, because there are Japanese games that I love. Like I used to love, what's the PlayStation series with the girl named Kat that can float? Gravity Rush. I liked Gravity Rush.
Speaking of Japanese games that I'm a big fan of right now, Pokemon.
Yeah, and I like Dragon Ball Z. I'm a huge fan of Dragon Ball Z, more so when I was younger, but I'm still playing Dragon Ball Z Kakarot.
There's so much that comes out of Japan that really, truly is great.
Distinct and unique.
Yes, and yeah, and I mean Mario. Mario is a Japanese game.
Well, but it's not as Japanese as Persona.
Right, well, right. But it's still a Japanese-created game. And I know Japanese and the Japanese and people who admire Japanese culture get a lot of flack because of anime and current anime culture right now. But I mean, you got to think the Japanese people and what they've brought to the table creatively in the last, I mean, since games have been created, like cannot be overlooked. Or overstated. I mean, it's just like they've had such a massive, massive impact on gaming as we know it today. That yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like it's funny to like haha make fun of people who like anime and stuff, but like it's, I mean, I don't even really equate anime and Japanese gaming contributions like to be on the same level. Like anime is like low to me, and you can come at me in the comments on that. You can say anime might be one of the best things that they've brought to the table. The thing is, anybody can do animation. I mean,
anime is a specific style.
Yeah, I know, but it's like, it's like to me,
let's not get into anime.
I know, but I'm saying it's so much less distinct than Nintendo and what Nintendo has done for gaming. And I guess Atari's Japanese, if I remember correctly. Sega, also Japanese. Like these are huge. They're huge contributions to the world as we know it. I mean, people love to just kind of
Atari's an American company.
Well, never mind, not Atari, but Sega is Japanese.
I had to Google it. Sure. I was pretty sure it wasn't, but yeah, Sega is, of course.
Yeah, so I mean,
the original Nintendo
Atari just
Sega.
Sounds Japanese. But I don't know. It's one of those things where you can't really like overlook it. And I think I don't know. I mean, I don't really know where I'm going with this and what brought it around, but I do think it's important for us to at least note it on the podcast because I feel like a lot of people don't really think about it anymore.
Gus, I've fallen down a rabbit hole. Atari is a American company, but the name Atari is a Japanese word.
That's
so
okay.
You're right. Yeah. You're right in that regard.
And I mean, it might be an American company, but it has a Japanese, I guess, I don't know if roots isn't the right term, but it has a Japanese influence. So,
yeah. But, I don't know. The shocking thing is I actually am going to go back to Persona 5. I'm going to probably play Gotham Knights, Plague Tale, and Modern Warfare 2 more immediately. But I am curious what all the hype is about with Persona. And since Persona 5 seems to be the best jumping on point because it's modern and it got such great reviews, plus I've already started it, I am going to continue on just a little bit to see what it's all about. I doubt I'll ever beat the game unless somehow I get bitten by the bug of Persona, but who knows? I've played weirder stuff. So, well, weirder for me. I don't think Persona's weird. It's a huge, huge following, especially on PlayStation consoles. But anyway, okay, number five. I buried this at the bottom of the news because I don't think this is a franchise that me, Gus, or Spencer really has much affinity for. But this would normally, if this were a franchise we liked, it would probably be at the top of the news, whereas I'm just going to kind of run down it really quick because I don't think this is something any of us plan to invest in. But Silent Hill had their event on Wednesday, and they had five announcements. One of them was like an interactive TV show of sorts, and one of them was a movie, so I'm not really going to talk about those. They had three games announced, though. One is Silent Hill 2 Remake, but this is the one that is happening by Bloober Team. So this is one that was much rumored, but it's PS5 and PC exclusive for a year. So this is where I was talking earlier about the Activision deal, where PlayStation is actively campaigning that Microsoft is going to make some of their franchises if they get Activision exclusive, and that how that's bad for gamers, while they continue in the same week paying for third-party exclusive timed exclusives. So they've locked Silent Hill 2 off of Xbox and Nintendo for a year. And in the same breath, the same week, a different arm of PlayStation is saying, yeah, Microsoft can't have these franchises. I don't know. It's a little tone deaf, but obviously it's different, you know, arms. Like, one, the PlayStation legal arm and executive team is probably doing with the Activision deal, and a different team is probably doing publishing rights and one-year exclusivity deals for Silent Hill 2 Remake. But that one is the most interesting to me. Well, maybe not. Maybe this third one. But the second one is Silent Hill Townfall. This is being developed by Stories Untold and Observation developer, which I believe their name is No Code. So they made the game Observation, which I've heard of, and Stories Untold, I have not. And it's being published along by Annapurna Interactive. No real details known about that one. People seem most excited about are Silent Hill 2 Remake and Silent Hill F, which is the third one. So this one's being done by the studio behind Resident Evil Resistance. So a Resident Evil developer, well, I think it's a third-party developer, not actually like a Resident Evil developer. But a studio that's now worked on Resident Evil is going on to work on Silent Hill, so that's kind of interesting. But the game is a Silent Hill story set in 1960s Japan. So that, to me, is the cool part of that game, is the setting sounds really cool. But I'm not into spooky games, and I'm not into Silent Hill. So Silent Hill 2 Remake, Silent Hill Townfall, and Silent Hill F are the three games that were announced in the Silent Hill event. So now people can stop pining for Silent Hill to be brought back, because you got three Silent Hill games coming. So I hope you're satisfied. I'm sorry I don't care, but I don't. And but I am happy, if you're a Silent Hill fan, that you're getting these. Gus, do you have anything to say about Silent Hill?
No, I remember when Silent Hill was coming out, and like, that was like a massive game. I hesitate to say that shows my age, but, I mean, Silent Hill, I mean, number five, dang, I didn't realize they were on number five.
Where are you getting five from?
Is that?
That's F.
Oh, I don't, never mind. I guess I didn't. Although, I don't know what I was looking at. I think I saw two and I equated as five. Never mind. I don't feel as old now.
But also, you're not totally wrong, because there was Silent Hill 1999, Silent Hill 2, 2001, Silent Hill 3, 2003, Silent Hill 4, The Room, 2004, Silent Hill Origins, 2007, so technically the fifth game, Silent Hill Homecoming, 2008, Silent Hill Shattered Memories, 2009, Silent Hill Downpour, 2012, and then technically, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So that's eight games. So Silent Hill F would be the ninth game.
I just remember when people like Markiplier and PewDiePie would be playing those on their channels, like in high school. Ooh.
And that's just the main games. There were spinoffs and smaller games that were like, like whatever. In fact, I'm looking at their Wikipedia right now, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 games, including Townfall that was just announced. Well, I guess Ascension, that's the other one that was the live TV show type thing. So there's eight games that were like mobile phone or auxiliary games. So yeah, there's something like 16 Silent Hill games. And it feels to me in my memory that there's only like three or four, but apparently there were 16. Apparently there was a Silent Hill 5 that got canceled too. But I don't know. Anyway, moving on. Silent Hill, I'm glad that all the people that were pining for it are getting Silent Hill, but that's the most I can muster, because it's just, I get scared too easily. And even though the most scary game I'm probably going to play is Resident Evil 2 Remake, I've been tempted from time to time to want to play that. But I watched the trailer, and I think we talked about this on the show, for the Dead Space remake, and I was like, yep, I'm not playing this. This is too spooky for me.
I remember playing Dead Space 2 like at midnight once, and I was just like, yeah, I'm never playing this again.
I don't feel like Dead Space 1 with the old graphics is that scary, but with the remake graphics, I was like, nope. Okay, on to the quick hits. I got two quick hits for you this week, Gus. Number one, the October Xbox System update is out, and it has a lot of small changes. So You can now change your TV volume using the Xbox guide. So there's now buttons for volume up and volume down if you have your TV set up through the HDMI connected interface where it allows your TV to be controlled via HDMI. Your TV has to support it, and it has to be turned on your Xbox, the HDMI, I forget what it's called, CEC. Also, you can now mute your startup sounds for your Xbox. So they added previously the ability to mute the chime that your Xbox makes, I believe. But now you can also mute the, you know, when the splash screen Xbox logo comes up and it goes, you can now mute that too. So if you want your console to start up silent so you don't wake the whole house, you can do that in the settings. Two different settings for two different things to turn the volume down on. Then changes to the names of the Xbox power modes. So instead of Energy Saver and Standby or whatever they used to be called previously, they're now called Shutdown and Sleep, which I think we can all agree is much more like standard to what people's expectations are with computers. Like Shutdown is complete shutdown, no power or near zero power, and Sleep is just ready to go whenever you need it. So that makes sense. Also, they're renaming Xbox pass keys to Xbox pins, which, okay, sure. New name and old name both work for me, so I don't really care. And then new firmware for Xbox controllers, which applies to Xbox Elite Wireless Series 2 controllers, Xbox X and S wireless controllers, Xbox Adaptive controller, and Xbox One controllers, but only specifically the ones with Bluetooth support, which I believe you can tell which ones have Bluetooth support by looking if you have the headset port on the bottom. I think all of those have the Bluetooth support. But if I'm wrong on that, the other way is when I was talking earlier about the ones that have kind of the glossy plastic on the top, those do not have Bluetooth. So the ones that have the solid face where the plate is all one solid piece of plastic, those are the ones with Bluetooth. I'm sure I'm describing that terribly, but whatever. And then the last thing, and I don't know why they include this in the updates for the Xbox system update, but the ability to trim the length of video clips from the Xbox mobile app on iOS and Android. So I don't know if you have to have the update on your console for that to work or what, but I do like this because my console by default takes, I think, 1 minute clips is what I have it set to. So I always take longer than I need, and then I trim it down to what I want to actually capture and publish. So now I can do that on my phone, which is a lot easier than doing it on the console. Then my second quick hit for the week is Resident Evil had their event this week as well. I don't think they really announced anything we're talking about, which is why I have it in the quick hits. The one thing is they showed a new trailer for Resident Evil 4 Remake, which I saw a lot of chatter on online. And then they just basically announced other stuff for like VR, some DLC for Resident Evil Village, the third person mode and the DLC for that, and a few other like little minor things. The DLC or the multiplayer mode that's coming at the end of October for Resident Evil Village was also mentioned. Nothing really announced that was new, except for, like I said, the new trailer for Resident Evil 4 Remake. So if you're interested in Resident Evil, go check out that trailer and those things.
I am not.
Yeah, it's another spooky franchise that I'm just like, yeah.
Well, it's just like, I just have no interest in Resident Evil. It's like, I'm not going to say they're bad games. I just have zero interest.
I think if, I don't know anything about Silent Hill, but isn't it the one where you're in like a town? And it's like Silent Hill is like a location, right? And you're like,
that
something sound,
that sounds, well, it just depends, I think, which game you're playing.
Yeah, so you can tell I know more about Resident Evil just because like Resident Evil 4 and Resident Evil 2 were so iconic to gaming for so many years that I've played a little bit of them, but I've played no Silent Hill. I don't think I've ever played a single moment of Silent Hill in my entire life. First, I played at least two or three Resident Evil games. Never through all the way, but I've at least played them. So, yeah. Also, fun fact, so ever since the pandemic, or a little before the pandemic, we record these remotely. You know, Spencer, Gus, and I used to live closer together, but we've all moved many times since then, so we record from our own houses, and we have video going so we can see each other. Gus has been frozen this entire episode, so I have no idea what his facial animation or stuff is. So I'm in the same boat as you, the listener.
Been flipping you off the whole time, Tim.
Yeah, so I'm in the same boat as the listeners. They have no idea what you look like. Although, if I'm to paint you all a word picture, Gus's current domicile is a completely white room. He's bathed in white light from the fan above. His cat
is not even white; it's yellow.
Okay, sure. And I was painting a picture. That's why I said bathed in white light. And then his cat was present in the background, staring at the fan and looking longingly at the blinds. And he's draped by over his left shoulder by the Indiana state flag used as a curtain to cover one of his windows.
Yes, because my bed was originally where I currently podcast when I moved into this apartment. And when I would in the morning, the that window faces the east. And so I would get woken up many times by the sun kind of peeking up over the top. And that annoyed me. So I moved my bed to where it currently is pretty quickly after I moved in. Like, I want to say like 6 or 7 months after I moved in.
So I own my home now, but I've lived in, I don't know, 2 or 3 apartments before this. And I will say the thing about curtains in apartments is, like, you almost never want to put the effort in to hang the curtains because, one, you're like, well, I don't know if I'm going to do more than a year lease because what if I get screwed on the price increase? And then I put all this effort into putting stuff on the walls and hanging curtains, and then I just have to leave and do it all over again. Plus, depending on the apartment complex, they have limitations on like whether how much you have to patch the walls and paint when you move out. And it's like, if the rules are too restrictive, it's not like I'm not going to hang curtains to in a year or two have to patch, paint, and do all this work for something that I don't own so that I can move out. It's just, anyway, so I respect using something simple as a curtain to keep out the sun. And this is the kind of nonsense you get at the end of the show, although you got some nonsense at the beginning of this episode with DC's, what's it called?
Bat wheels.
Bat wheels. What a name.
My cat has rejoined me. He's currently underneath my legs.
Well, I can't see him because you're still frozen. And I want to say your picture is frozen with you tugging on the top of your ear. So you just look, you look a little bit like Johnny Depp. Oh, you just unfroze. I see the cat.
Look how big he is.
You know, I'm going to start introducing your cat as part of the cast since he's present on pretty much every episode. He's huge. His name is Bruce Wayne. So with that, we will end the episode. I am Tim Shelton. Thank you for listening this week. You can follow me on Twitter if you'd like to, at Tim Shelton.
And I'm Gus Harden. I guess if you want to be mad at me about what I said about anime, you can send questions to at MultiformPod on Twitter.
See you next week.
New episodes post every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can contact us on Twitter at MultiformPod or by email at questions@multiformpodcast.com. If you enjoyed our show and you're feeling extra generous, please share it with your friends or on social media. You can subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere you listen.